Corinthians, the 15th chapter, is where we'll be reading from this morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles and go along with us for a few minutes of time today, that God would just take his word and bless it, and that we as his children would be able to rejoice in this day and what it means to us, and if we would have lost in our midst, that you would realize today could be the greatest day of your life. If you would just surrender unto Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and see what a great God that we serve this morning. So 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Thank God for this word. Go with us if you would, starting at verse 12, reading down through and including verse 19. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. They also which fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Stop reading there with that 19th verse. And today the Lord laid this on my heart this week, and I want to preach to you a message entitled Misery Turned to Joy. Misery Turned to Joy. Paul's trying to set the record straight that there were many that said Christ raised not, that he was still dead. Some said that his followers came and stole his body to make it look like he arose. And Paul is putting it very plain, Brother Charlie. If Christ be not risen, then every one of us is still lost. All those that died believing, they perished. And we are still in our sins. Hope is something that he talked about in that last verse. That if we only have a hope, if I can elaborate a little bit further of what God laid on my heart, of what Paul was saying, if we only have a hope in the resurrection, we are of all men most miserable. I think God gives us that liberty, because that the resurrection is what Paul was talking about. And if there be no resurrection, then we're all miserable, because all we have is a hope. And how many of us know that hope is good, but hope also brings doubt? Hope overshadows because of the doubt that is there. It's almost like false hope. You're dreaming, you're hoping about something that may never happen. Every time it seems like we have hope, Satan brings doubt. How many of you ever doubted whether Christ rose from the dead or not? And you say, that's awful bold. Before I was saved, I remember being under conviction and sitting in the church, little house that had been converted to a church. It was about as wide as from here to the wall. Theater-style seats down in Newport, Kentucky. And I remember sitting there and wondering, how do they know that it's real? How do they know that God is real and Christ really died for our sins and he arose on the third and appointed day. See, I had hope that I would get to go to heaven. But I was miserable because I didn't have a promise. I didn't have the reality. And I questioned, how did mom and dad and all these people know that this was real? Did anybody ever have those thoughts in your mind about God? But then one day, I had an introduction through and by the Holy Spirit that passed by my way and said, this is no longer a hope. It can be reality for you. And I remember lying upon my bed, afraid to go to sleep, that if I went to sleep, I might die. And if I died, I would spend eternity in hell. See, until you see where you're at, you cannot be saved by the grace of God. I was miserable because I saw myself as I was, lost and undone. But thank the Lord, He didn't leave me there. He spoke to my heart another time, and that time my misery was turned to joy. Hallelujah. Paul was saying, if we only have a hope, we're miserable. We're miserable. How can we really be excited if we don't know for sure that He's alive? You see, all of the prophets of the Old Testament died with hope that one day the Messiah would come. But they died before the Messiah came. Even John, the last prophet, right? All the prophets were until John. John was the last prophet. And even John, being the cousin of Christ and pronouncing Him when He was there baptizing in the river of Jordan, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Even John, when it come time for him to be in prison and dying, going to be put to death, hope brought doubt. That doubt was that he said, send some of his followers, his disciples unto Christ and say, are you the Christ to come? Or should we look for another? And the news came back to John. The blind receive their sight, the deaf ears open, the lame leap, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Even though John was about to die, his misery was turned to joy because he said, when I close my eyes in death, I'll wake up on that resurrection morn and go home to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, there was doubt, and maybe doubt amongst us today, about His life. There were those that at His birth in the book of Luke, in the first chapter, that said, this is just another child that's born. Even though it was prophesied in the Old Testament over 300 times about a Savior to come, there was still doubt. How many of you know today, the longer you hope for something, the more doubt builds up? And I'm just preaching the way God gave it to me, Sharon. The longer we wait for something, our hope diminishes. And it begins to decrease at such a rapid speed that our hope is almost gone. There's those that doubted that He lived a sinless life. How could a man live 33 and a third years upon this earth and never commit a sin? See, there was doubt. But what man forgot was he was more than just man. He was 100% God in the flesh. And even doubt when he said in the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, that He was the Son of God. There was those that doubted and said, how can he be the Son of God? We know his father, the carpenter, and we know his mother, Mary. We know his brothers and his sisters. How can this be? See, they were miserable. Even those that looked for him to come and deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman government, they said, our hope is gone. He's been here all this time, and we're still prisoners under the Roman government. But you see, his kingdom was not of this world. He's got a kingdom that he left to come down from heaven to walk upon this earth to make a way where we would no longer be miserable, but we would have joy down in our hearts and our souls, knowing that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He not was, he still is the Savior of the world. Even those that looked at him and said, he is an illegitimate child. We know his mother. Can you hear him? His mother had a child before she was married. She was engaged, but yet she had this child out of wedlock, conceived this child out of wedlock. But you see, Mary was his mother, but his father was not Joseph. His father was God himself. You say, Roger, that sounds like Christmas message. No, it all goes together. I love Christmas. I appreciate Christmas because we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And still today, there are those that doubt whether he was born in Bethany. Go back. Josephus, the historian, even testifies about or records the actual historical document that there was a birth in Bethlehem, unlike any other birth. You see, but there were still those that was miserable because he didn't come the way they thought he should come. Instead of being a pauper and being born in a stable, he should have been born in the king's house. Well, to him, the king's house was a stable compared to where he came from. Many of those that looked at him and said, if this is the only hope we have, we're doomed. We're going to die. And nothing is going to become of us in the future because he has let us down. He's failed us. Paul said, if we only have a hope, we are all of all men most miserable. There are people today that, even as we celebrate Easter, doubt whether he came out of the tomb on the third and appointed day. There are those that say they stole his body. His disciples came and stole him and made up this story. And even some of the guards was paid to collaborate that story and say they stole him. But you see, if they would have stole him or he was still in the tomb, we would never have joy. We'd all be wretched and blind and miserable. We'd all be lost and headed to a devil's hell. But how many of you know, come Sunday morning, there was joy in the heavens and on the earth. As Mary and Mary Magdalene and the other women came there to the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away. Mary said, where, as she was talking to the gardeners, perceiving that it was the gardener, she said, where have they taken my Lord? But you know, when they looked in the tomb, the only thing they found was the grave clothes. Oh, praise the Lord this morning. Grave clothes are for dead people. Christ was not dead. He was up and walking around. And even as Mary and them ran back to where the apostles were, when they got there and they told them the story, there was still doubt. Those that had been with him and heard him preach, for this cause came I into this world to lay down my life. There were some of them that was there and said, we can't believe it. I've got to go and see for myself whether he is alive or not. And you know, they got into a foot race, did they not? And they went there to the tomb to where he was laid, and they seen that the stone was rolled away. They looked inside, and no doubt there was joy that come in their heart because they remembered what he said. You destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it back up. As each and every word he said reverberated through their minds. Of all the years they walked with him, they could hear his words as he spoke to them. As Jonah was in that belly of the great fish, so must the Son of Man be in the earth. But I'll rise again. I'll rise again. People say, why did he go to death? He died a death to show us that he would be the first fruit of all resurrections. He got up, and people say, well, when he got up, wasn't there others that got up with him? Yes, but they could not get up until he got up. And while he was in the tomb, Scripture says he went and preached to those that was in the prisons. Let me elaborate real quickly this morning. He went to those that died with hope of a Savior to come. Oh, I got to pause for a minute. But you see, when he went there to preach to those that was locked up in prison, he didn't go to give them a second or a third chance. He went to those that died faith believing that the Messiah would come. And you know what he did when he went down there? He had the keys of death and hell in his hands. He unlocked the prison doors, and those that were dead got up when he got up and ascended with him into heaven. Their hope turned to joy. I preached this many times, a long time ago, I should say. Can you hear the sound of the keys coming down the corridor? You're in prison. You're locked up. You die with hope. The Bible says that Abraham saw his day and he rejoiced in it. Church, I want to preach today. We ought to rejoice because we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God that is alive and well. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart, within my soul. And folks, today, even if I didn't have a Bible to tell me he's alive, even if I can't go to where he was buried to see that the tomb is empty, I know he is alive and well today because his spirit dwells in my heart and my soul. Simeon said when he heard about the Messiah to come, he was there. He had hope. But that day when he walked into the temple and they brought the Christ child there, Brother Ray, Simeon looked at him and he said, oh, my misery has turned to joy. He said, Lord, I have seen the Messiah. I have seen the Savior. Now let thy servant depart in peace. He was excited that he got to see this Lord and Savior before he died. How many of us today are so thankful that our misery was turned to joy when we saw the Lord not high and lifted up on a cross? But folks, let me tell you, can I gotta slow down for a minute? The cross today, it brought doubt for many because they looked at it and said, he came in to save his people, and now here he is, he's about to die. But remember the message he preached while he was here. I'm going to lay down my life that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Our misery has been turned to joy. You see, the resurrection exceeded the hope. I could have never, ever expounded upon what the, or today even what the resurrection means to me. It means by his blood I am sealed until the day of redemption. When he calls my name, don't you weep for me as one that haveth no hope. Some of you ain't following too close. But you, when I have closed my eyes for the last time, let me leave you a little bit of a message this morning. I know where I'm going. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that there is a place in heaven for a little, a poor 12-year-old that stepped out behind the pew, 11-year-old, walked down to the aisle and gave his heart to Jesus Christ upon an altar of prayer. I know it's not the new way, but I'll take the old way and say, thank God for old time, heaven sent conviction. Thank God that he revealed to me that God, his Son Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are alive and well, and that he is still on this Sunday morning, 2,000 years later, revealing he's alive, he's alive, he is alive today for the whole world if they will just receive him. Paul said, misery because hope fails you. You remember, and I'm trying to find a closing place. I got more than I can preach out this morning. You remember those disciples as they was on the road to Emmaus. They had been to Jerusalem. They had left there. And they were sorrowful. See, their hope was diminished. And the Lord joined himself in their conversation. And although they was miserable, by the time the Lord got done talking to them, what did they say, church? Did not our hearts burn within us? You say, what does that mean? That means they were overwhelmed with the joy of talking to one that was supposed to be dead. Amen? The Bible says if you want to see doubt erased and joy come in, ask Mary Magdalene. Oh, come on, church. Ask the women at the tomb. Oh. Ask Peter, who denied him thrice. But Peter was there, said he's alive. The Bible says in the book of John there were 10 of the disciples that was there. And also in the book of John it says in the later verses that there were 11. Then the 7 that was there on the second Sunday. The 11 on a certain mountain in Galilee were in Matthew 28 that he talked to him. And then the 12, including Matthias, who was the replacement apostle that took Judas's place. And then the Bible says, if you want that hope really ignited, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, just go up a few verses in the 6th verse and you'll find out that there was over 500 brethren at one time that said, guess what? Our hope has turned to joy. Oh. And then, and all of the apostles that the Bible talks about, but this is one that really gets my heart this morning. in the same chapter, 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. All of this is starts in the fourth verse, and that he was buried and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And after that, he was seen as Cephas, meaning Peter, and of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain unto us this present, but some are falling asleep. How many of you got loved ones that have fallen asleep with joy in their heart because the doubt was replaced? And then after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. But listen at this, church. And last of all, he was seen of me also. This was Paul talking. Paul wasn't there. Paul did not go to the tomb. Paul was out there learning how to be a Pharisee and scorn and murder those Jesus followers. But one day, on the road to Damascus, the Bible said it was about the noon hour. Paul was miserable. He was miserable. These people thinking that their Jesus is alive. But on that day, on a street called Straight, I didn't know I was going to preach all this morning. The Bible says that there was one that appeared brighter than the noonday sun. And after he talked with Saul, Saul was converted. Oh, I hear a song. I remember the day the Lord saved me. Oh, we ought to get some of them old songs out. Paul said, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Here we are 2,000 and some years later. Every one of us was born out of due time. He arose that we might be able. You see, when he arose, if I can get just a little bit longer, when he arose, what it did is the church was set in motion. There was a marriage that took place. Some say, I can't wait till we get to heaven and the great big wedding takes place in heaven. Folks, let me tell you, it already took place. If not, every one of us is illegitimate children. But I am not an illegitimate child. I am a born-again son of God that has joy, joy, joy unspeakable down in my heart and in my soul. And I'll close with this, if the Lord's will. Some might say, Sister Vi, because I was raised in church from the time I was 2 years old, that I was brainwashed. See, God gave this to me. I went to get some food for me and Becky, and I got more than I could eat. Not the natural, but the spiritual. Some would say that I was brainwashed into believing all this stuff about Jesus. God gave it to me like this. I was not brainwashed. I was heart-washed. He took my heart of stone and he washed it in red blood and made it white as snow. And all I had to do was say, I believe. I believe. Robin Sharon, get us a song this morning. Do you believe this is more than just a pagan holiday? I said that to a guy at work on Friday, and he said, what are you talking about? And I had to go through. You know, they took a pagan holiday and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and combined them. Otherwise, we would celebrate the first Sunday of every April. Some of you See me after church, I'll explain it to you the best I can. That's why it changes, because it has to go with the lunar. The first new moon, okay? While the world is celebrating rabbits and eggs, do you know why? Because their pagan god was the goddess of fertility. But see, I don't celebrate the rabbit or the eggs. I don't celebrate the pagan god. You know what I celebrate? This day is the greatest day in the history of mankind, because he got out of the tomb. How did he get out? I have the power to lay down my life. I have the power to raise it up. I have the power to deliver myself from the cross. He could have called more than 12 legions of angels to come and set him free. But you know why he didn't? He saw you and me headed down that broad road. And he came to take our misery away from us and to give us joy. Amen? Would you stand while they sing a verse of a song of invitation? Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you wonder why you have such great fear in your heart and soul, especially about death, I ask you to follow your heart and come to Jesus Christ right now and let him give you joy. Would you do that today? I say this so often, follow your heart, because that's where God is speaking to you. What you have felt in this audience today is the power of a resurrected God that speaks to dispel that hope and turn it into joy. Follow your heart today. Mom and dad, young man or woman, no better day than right now to get to know Jesus Christ. Step out and realize what joy is all about. The world has a joy, but it's carnal and it's temporary. We, as God's people, have an eternal joy that will go with us all the way to the other side. How about you today? If we only have a hope, we are of all men most miserable. One more verse and we'll close. Listen at that. He knows all about you. He knows all of your fears, your doubts. He knows even what you're thinking at this hour. And that still, small voice that speaks to you is him inviting you to become part of his great family. Will you step out today and receive the Lord? Sing it, church. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear burdens alone. How about you, young folks? Do you know the Lord today? Yes. He'll help me. Jesus alone. Today I pray that you'll take a moment to entertain the Lord in his Holy Spirit. and examine yourself and see if you really know what the resurrection means. Has that doubt been taken out of your heart and life about, was he really that man? Did he really die? Was he resurrected? How do I know that he's real? Well, you felt him today. You felt him. I've seen him on the faces of the congregation. I wish y'all could come up here. And as God moves, you could see the expressions change. See, many of us come in with heavy burdens. But once the Holy Spirit starts moving, that burden is lifted and we're able to have joy even in the midst of our situations. I encourage you to take the invitation of God seriously, because time is not on any of our side. None of us. And the question that you need to ask yourself is, if I were to die today, where would I spend eternity? Where? You're not going there because of your good works. You're not going on there because you give to the church. You're not going there because you're a good person. The only way you'll make it is through and by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross as an atonement for your sins and mine, that we could have joy. I could go on for a little bit longer, but I better hush. I hope you have a great Easter. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with celebrating Easter with the kids. Becky and I had a bunch of the grandkids over, and they colored a bunch of eggs. The others, last weekend, I guess it was, we had an Easter egg hunt last Saturday. And it was so exciting to watch them try to fill up their basket. That's the way I am when I come to church. I try to fill up my basket. David said he did. He said, my cup runneth over. Amen. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning? God bless each and every one of you. Those of you that's visiting with us, I invite you to come back each and every time that you can. Church members, be praying for Rob and his family. Be praying for Sister Mary and Boyd. In fact, I'm going to leave somebody out. Ron and Sharon, Brother Bobby, and I keep forgetting. Kenny and Della. Mark. All of these we ought to be praying for. And if you don't have a home church, we invite you to come back and be with us every time as you can. And if God leads you here, we want you. Amen. But if God don't lead you, you're better off where you're at. Amen. But God bless each and every one of you. You got something to share? Yeah, I guess we'll end up doing it next week, the business meeting. We'll do an abbreviated meeting next Sunday. And church, we need to be praying about Wednesday night. I know COVID is still out there, but I think we can get back here shortly. Maybe things are calming down a little bit. I don't know about the month of April, but month of May, we ought to try to get back together on Wednesday nights for sure. And then start praying about opening up for Sunday school as well. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Yes. All right. God bless you. Have a great day. Don't eat too much. And enjoy the time of Easter with your family.